Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Draw all men unto him. And that is our solution for
for men and women, boys and girls, even on this crossroad broadcast, to be able to lift up the name of Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the true and the living God. And we want you to stay tuned. Yes, stay tuned for this crossroad broadcast. We do have an exciting topic today. Dr. June Normill is our speaker. As you know, Crossroad Broadcast consists of professional Christian counselors who specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect, and many other topics. Yes, today we're going to be talking about loneliness. You may be lonely. You may have somebody that are going through that stage of loneliness. We want you to be able to call them. Yes, call a neighbor. Call a friend. Let them know that the Crossroad Broadcast is on the air. Did you not know that loneliness has been called the world's most common mental health problem? And it is one of the most universal sources of human suffering. And it is almost a permanent condition for millions of people. After having said that, yes, you need to be able to hear what God has for you on today. Let's first go before the throne of grace, and we're going to come back to Dr. Normia, June Normia, as she's going to speak to you today on loneliness. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, good God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We do thank you, God, today, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, those that you are again to hear this broadcast today, and those that are going to be listening, Father, we pray even now that you'll heal broken hearts, that you'll bind up wounds, God, that you'll bring restitution, God, that you will give them that freedom to know that you, oh God, will never leave or forsake them. And God, to let them know the reason why there are so many lonely people that are in our society. So, Lord, give them what they need on today. God, that they will be strengthened. God, that they have joy. God, that they'll have that peace, God, even in the midst of a storm. And, Father, for this we will glorify and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Crossroad Broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we are getting ready for Dr. June Normill, who is a licensed Christian counselor, to come and to speak to you today about the topic loneliness. Why don't you receive Dr. June Normill as she comes and talk to us today about loneliness.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Good evening, Radio Land. I give you honor today for being allowed to hear what I have to say to you today, and I thank God for giving me the opportunity to speak to you. Today, my topic is loneliness, and loneliness is described as a state of solitude or being alone. Loneliness causes people to feel empty, alone, and even unwanted. But people who are lonely, they often crave human contact, but their state of mind, it makes it more difficult for them to connect with people. Even though they are surrounded with lots of people, and they could be in the midst of people on the outside of them, it's just something within them makes them feel like they are all by themselves and lonely. But anyone, you know, can experience loneliness. You don't have to be on the valley low or the bottom of the world to experience loneliness. Anybody could experience loneliness. And it's the emotion that any and every one of us experience at some time or another. And the painful can cause us to be feeling empty inside. And it can last for a few minutes. And sometimes for others, it could be distant or even last for a lifetime. But many people think Well, if a person is homeless, that they are lonely, and they may see people as being incarcerated, and they feel like that person is lonely. And if a person is institutionalized, they feel like that person is lonely. And a person who may be an only child, maybe an only child, people feel like, I know they have to be lonely. And a lot of times people stereotype people and because of those situations, but this way of thinking is too far-fetched. And but there are factors that could cause you to experience loneliness, but that's not necessarily mean that a person is lonely if they're incarcerated or institutionalized, or even if they are an only child. But what really causes a person to be lonely is truly the state of mind a person is in when they experience that. Let me give you an example or a scenario that anyone can have or experience the emotion of being loneliness. Let's talk about a lady named Dr. N. And no, it's not me. I'm Dr. Normia, but we may not be talking about me. It's just we'll just call this person Dr. N. And she's a bright young professor who works at a university in Canada. And she's well-liked by her teaching colleagues. She's popular with all the students, and she's very smart. She's competent as a researcher. Last year, she received the Outstanding Teacher of the Year Award, and several people, and people who know her, they see things that she do, how she carries herself, and how competent she is about her job. And they even said that they think she's going to be the Teacher of the Year. They had already predicted that, and she's going to be a successful scholar and a researcher just by just looking at her and the way she just carries herself on the outside. Do you know anybody like that? You just see them, they all put together. They just carry themselves so well. They're so competent in what they do. And they just see people just admire them and everything they do, like they just have it all together. But even though Dr. N have all those things going for her, very few people know that inside of her, she feels very lonely. And even though she's very competent and everyone goes to her for advice, she feels lonely within herself. One time she was reading a magazine. Inside the magazine she read, the article says that one person in six doesn't even have a single friend with whom he or she can talk to about personal problems, and that 40% of the population feels shy and isolated. And as Dr. N, as she read that article, she felt within herself, she was talking about her own life. Can you imagine that? A lady that has so much going for her on the outward appearance, and a lot of people who want to be her and wish they could walk in her shoes, and outside seeing that she got all together, but within her own self, she feels so lonely. She don't even feel like she have anyone to talk to. As a matter of fact, she don't. When she go home from work, after doing a day's work, she go home to back to her apartment. This is her daily routine. This is her lifestyle. She go back to her apartment, and she talk to a cat, and she reads books. That's all she do, all they read books. And that's about all she do for her life. And she do the same thing every day. She go back to the university and teach and be around others and have that massage on. Like, everything is well put together. After she get back to her own place of refuge, her own place of solace, she sits there and be lonely and talk to a cat. And we know that God put animals and for our friends, our companionship, and we can have our pets. But God has put people on the world and in the earth where we could talk to, communicate with each other. Also, not just to be talking to an animal, because can you imagine the kind of conversation Miss Ian having with a cat? What do you think the cat saying back to her that she could really understand? Nothing. So that's why she felt that void, because God has created me, all of us, to be in contact with each other, another human. We have that inner spirit, and that inner void is in us when we don't do that, because God created us to be able to communicate with humans. And she, that is her whole life. She talks to the cat, she reads a book, go back to work, and she do have an outside life, but she don't go to bars, she try to find a friend, because that's just not her style, her lifestyle. So she don't go to the bars, and she attend church. And you'll feel like if you go to church, you'll have somebody you could talk to. But even in church, she don't even have anyone to talk to, because she feel like the people there, they already have their set of friends, their own group of friends. She feel like she don't even fit in there. Do you experience some of those feelings as Ms. Ian's being described as feeling as though she's at work. You may be at work. You may be at school. You may be even at home with people, but you still feel that void of loneliness. And she thought maybe she'll get that refuge when she is at church, but she still don't feel welcome or feel like a misfit in church because, like I said, loneliness really is a state of mind. And she feels that within herself and her mind making her feel that way. And I don't know, she seems like people didn't all have their own friends and she don't have no one to relate to. And she went on a cruise and she met people on the cruise, but just for that short period of time, she found herself feeling comfortable and happy. But as they separate with their own way, their place of living is too far away from each other, so she don't have no regular contact with them. And also her family, that she her biological family, they live in another state, so she don't get to see them often. So what she do is go back to work daily, back and forth, and come home and talk to the cat and feeling bad within herself. She put on a massage, and she's wondering if this is all life has to be about. Why do I feel so lonely? And I have a PhD. I'm very competent. People come to me for advice, and people admire me so much that they want to be in my shoes. I have all kind of awards. I have a lot of things going for me, but within, I'm so lonely. And a lot of people in the world today experience that same thing. They have a lot of alphabets behind their name. They have a lot of titles. They have very prestigious reputation, but within they are lonely. And there was a time when your person, when you get in that state, we have to really cry out to God and be open to be able to receive people in our lives and have God to regulate our mind and transform our mind for be able to communicate with other humans, but we won't feel like that because God didn't put us on this earth and it puts the world to be lonely. And even though she have all these attributes and things going for herself, she feels so lonely. She decides that she has to even consider going to a counselor herself. Can you imagine that? A young doctor, bright professor, got a lot going for herself, and she facade is so long trying to put the best on the outside and putting the best on the outside, but within she is really broken and she is really lonely. So she decided that she needed to go to a counselor herself to overcome that feeling of being lonely. And if not, because it would cause her to break, either be in a lower state because it got to the point that it has affected her ability to concentrate at work. And she wasn't able to perform like she normally would be able to perform. But it's a condition that affects people of all ages. And you'll think a person has to be old or young, middle age. It affects all ages, including young children. But, you know, researchers, they agree that loneliness soars. I mean, it goes higher during the teenage years. And it reaches the highest peak in people between the ages 18 and 25. And lonely people appear in all vocational groups. You would think a person have to be have the lowest rate paying job to be feeling lonely now, but it's not. That's not so. It could be in all vocational groups, but there's evidence that the most highly ambitious people, the ones that really have high paying job, fast track moving job, people that are always on the go, who doing real good, they have especially higher rate or incidentally of being lonely. Because they the same, you know, what happened, they get so consumed about their job and they try to stay on top of things until they never find time to find themselves. They find the time to find an answer for this person, for that situation, for the job, for this person, that person, but they never find a time for themselves. And if they ever could slow down and stop and feel that, they'll see within themselves that they're lonely, and they'll find themselves feeling like that's all I'm living for. Have you ever experienced that or know somebody experienced that? They go through the same daily routine in life every day. They get up in the morning. They might go to work. You may go to school, and you do this same thing, talk to the same people, and you go back home, and it's lonely. You're lonely. You have no life, no social life with nobody outside of when it's pertaining to your job, and you wonder, is this what life is all about? But it's not what it's all about. It's what you make it. It's a state of mind. And, you know, the same thing true with, you know, among leaders who feel alone when the ones who are top, workaholics, they're consumed by so many activities that interfere with their personal intimacy. And counselors who spend their life giving to others but failing to build closeness in their own life. Even counselors, even myself or other counselors, Pat, we could give out so much and always being there because it's our profession and this is what we love doing. But we can get so consumed and just giving out and giving out until we don't take the time for ourselves. We could find ourselves being in the same state of being lonely. That's why it's just true that anybody could experience the emotion of being lonely. And not only is being lonely, but as well as burnt out. You know, and the same thing about it pertaining to a marriage. And it has been on a scale saying that most marital relationships is more lonely than a person that is single. And especially, and it's so ironic because they'll say that even about Christians that have a Christian relationship, you will find that their marriage needs to be adjusted because it's more burnt out and they found more lonely because the spouse is so busy feeding the needs to other people and presenting needs to other people till they're not spending time for themselves or their own relationship until they even feel they're more lonely in their relationship, even though they're around people all the time. And they're always giving out and they're always trying to find the answer. They're always giving the answer. They're always giving hope, always giving, you know, the best for other people. But then when they sit back and look at themselves, it's like they're lacking the same thing where they're giving for other people. But most lonely people, you know, they tend to look down on themselves. And it's true because a lot of time when people are lonely, they look down on themselves and they wonder, why am I lonely? Why don't I have any friends? You know, they weighed down with the feelings of they have experienced low self-esteem and, you know, a feeling of worthlessness. You know, the lonely person often thinks, nobody wants me, so I'm guessing I'm not worth anything. But that's not true. You're worth more than anything. You are precious. You are a jewel. God created you. He created me. He created us for each other, to be a blessing to each other. But when you're feeling lonely, you don't feel that. You feel like you have nothing to offer. But you have anything and everything to offer. But it's a state of mind. You have to see yourself the way God sees you. And the Bible says, for a person to have friends, you must first show yourself friendly. If you can get out that state of mind that no one wants to be with you, you have nothing to offer, that's a true statement for someone who is going to listen to the devil. But that's not what God wants you to hear, because that's not from God. Because God knows you are worth more than anything, because God made you and you are good and very good. You know, and sometimes people feel hopeless and a strong desire, anything that, you know, that relationship might end up painful, involuntary, or loneliness. Because a lot of times when people are lonely and what people do, they crave to be with people. So when a person with low self-esteem experiences loneliness, they'll crave to the wrong people. Sometimes people get attached to the wrong people because they're so lonely and they just want to feel, they crave to feel that intimacy and that attention from another person. To sometimes they will get it from the wrong people, and that's why people get in relationships that's not healthy, because of being so lonely they just crave and just go in relationship with the wrong people. And sometimes that person that you have embraced in your life can be a hindrance more than it can be a help. So that's why it's good to try to just pop out and jump out of that state of just being lonely and get to the point where you start feeling that that low self-esteem, that worthlessness, because it makes you make unwise decisions. But, you know, but many kind of people, you know, they try to find the relief in bars and church group and church meetings, and they got so many things going on now all on the internet, and they got seminars, dating service, and all kind of single trips and everything, self-help books. And they try to find anything, any antidote, any answer to loneliness. They try, it's all kind of things out there. And even when they do have human contact, many people are still unable to build a significant relationship or either gain emotional satisfaction from others. And that's why it's so important to pray and acknowledge God by even the people that you stay in contact with. Because like I said earlier, sometimes even in being that state of loneliness, it calls us to gravitate. It could cause you to gravitate to the wrong people. But loneliness can be transient or situational or chronic. It can last a long time, a few minutes or a few months. That's when it's transient. Or either it could be chronic. That means it persists. Loneliness a long time because of individual shyness and their poor self-image, aquatic things, something that a temperament or something that within them that they live with every day. And they feel like they got to be that way, but it's not so. You don't have to be that way. And God has made all kind of ways that we could get to know him, get to know ourselves, and get to know others. If we could get our mindset and get our mind state in the right place. And I know sometimes even it being even missed in a home with even with your family members, you may not be isolated on the outside. You may be living in with a group of your family, or you could be even married, or either have your children with you and living in the house of people with you, but you still feel lonely because it depends on that state of mind. What kind of relationship are y'all having together? You could be in a house with a place with a lot of people and still feeling lonely because of the state of mind we're still within. That's why we have to have a healthy inside for we to be able to project that from the outside. And it's not healthy, and it's not God, and it's not pleasant for us and for people. It is not God's desire for us to put a great image on the outside, you know, on our face, but in inside we are broken. And it's important to distinguish loneliness from solitude, because loneliness comes out when we are forced to be alone. But solitude is a voluntary withdrawal from people. Loneliness sweeps over us and hangs on us in spite of our best effort to cast it off. But with solitude, it can be started and terminated at our will. So we determine our solitude. We could go in a place and leave away from that. But loneliness is something that within you. Loneliness is painful, draining, and unpleasant. Solitude, it could be refreshing, rejuvenating, and enjoyable. People talk to counselors about the problems of loneliness. Solitude, when they're in the counseling, they very rarely talk about counseling. So we talked about loneliness and how what professors have to say about loneliness and everything concerning loneliness, what we have to say about the loneliness, the counselors. But no matter what we are experiencing, everybody will in time experience our loneliness. But the most important thing is to know that what the Bible has to say about loneliness. Everybody could give you, I could give you my point of view, what I say, what research to say. But the most important thing is to find out what God has to say about loneliness. And as far as start off in the book of Genesis, it talks about when God created Adam, and God declared that it's not good for man to be alone. So what he did, God said, I will make man a help for him. So that's when God created Eve. For Adam, way back in the book of Genesis, at the beginning of the time, God knew it wasn't good for man to be alone. That's why God created Eve, and for them to have fellowship with each other, for them to also have fellowship with us. And that's the same thing how God created us, for us to have fellowship with one another. We have people all over the world, our family, our friends, to create for us to fellowship with each other, and also to create and have fellowship with him. And we're not the only one, and if you are experiencing alone, you're not the only one experiencing alone. All of us sometimes we go through during that period of time of loneliness. Like I said, it could be for a short period, but and that's normal. But when you have this thing, loneliness, plaguing you every day and all day, that's not healthy. But it, don't think it's a sin if you do experience loneliness, because even like people all through the Bible had experienced loneliness in their lives, and God used them mightily, such as Moses, Job, Nehemiah, Elijah, and Jeremiah. You know, David, the psalmist David once wrote that he was lonely and afflicted. You know, but Jesus, who know all of our infirmities, he himself was either lonely, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, and even John, you know, he ended his life alone and on the island of Patmos. And the Apostle Paul, you know, he apparently spent his last days in prison. He was lonely, even writing to Timothy, you know, and Paul, being old, even wrote that his friend has left and some have forsaken him, and that he needed his young mentee, his colleague, talking about Timothy, to make every effort to come to see him soon. And you may be in that situation that feel like, you know, even some of the people in the Bible, even we don't have to even go that far. We could know people ourselves. We got family members. Sometimes experience that we feel like we are all alone, even in the midst of doing things of God as being Christians. Just like the patriots I just named, we could be in the midst of doing things of God. It may be a time you feel like you are all alone, and it feels like no one understands, and it's a painful and it's a lonely walk. But like I said earlier, it's been stated that loneliness is a state of mind, the way your mind state think, and you may naturally in human feel that loneliness and that effect of loneliness, being a woman of God, being a man of God, doing the things of God. But we have to know that God had promised to never leave us nor forsake us, and God will be with us even in that time when we are doing things of God, and not to be dismayed. And even if you are a person, you know, you may not even know God as your Lord and Savior and stuff. God, it's not God's desire for you to be lonely. But if you give your life to the Lord, and he will receive you into himself, and you will be a child of God, and God's your father, and he promised that he would never leave you. In Deuteronomy 31 and 8, it said, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And that word is so profound for anyone, anybody who feel like they are right now walking in the state and in the place of being lonely. You may be alone. But you're not alone. God promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. And God have a way that's mighty sweet. He will lead you to people. He will lead people to you, for you will have to walk this walk alone. And there will be times when you will experience the emotion of being lonely. But like I said, it's not a sin. You know, it's just an emotion, but it will pass. That too shall pass. Just like you have sunshine some days, you also have rain. And but they, all of that were pain. That's just part of life. But God didn't design for us to be alone. Didn't design for us to be lonely, long term, forever, and for long term situation. Because that's why he showed us the example that he created Eve for Adam, and even Jesus himself, when he was on earth, he experienced some lonely moments. He experienced some betrayal with friends and a lot of things. We might be experience betrayal with people that make you feel lonely in a situation. But if you just look at the life of our Master Jesus Christ, and you'll see that anything that you may be walking in, anything you may be going in, he went through those same steps, and he was able to endure, and God never forsakes him. And he said he'll be with us even to the end. And just like you think of that poem, Footprints in the Sand, it is so profound. If you ever read that poem, Footprints in the Sand, and when it said to the part, I'm just paraphrasing, when the person was talking to Jesus, said, when we start off, we see two sets of footprints. He said, but then I see one, and Jesus said, that's what I was carrying you. And I'm here to encourage you to know that no matter what you're going through, Jesus is there to carry you through whatever you have to be. And you may be lonely at this time, but you will never be alone. God will be with you to the end. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Jim Normill for giving us insight, for giving us what God has given her to share with you on today. Yes, it's so important that you know who you are in Christ and to know who you are as an individual, and to know that even their struggle, many people are struggling. They may be very successful in their lives. They may be a pastor, they may be by the clergy, they may be someone that you may see from day to day. They may be someone that's in a university with you or in college or whatever it may be. And as Dr. Norman say, that there are many times that people can be in a crowd, but yet they're lonely. And as you talked about this professor, the woman that was reaching out to others and helping others, but yet she had a problem somewhat with loneliness. You know, you could be, as she was a professor in a classroom, and she was able to teach others, but yet when she went home, as Dr. Norma have already shared with us, all she had was a cat. Her family was miles away from her, and she felt that loneliness. But as we said at the beginning of the broadcast, the Word of God tells us that he will never leave us or forsake us. So So therefore, you may be a person that without Christ in your life, or you may be locking up a relationship with him. But I believe when we give God our all in all, God will put us in the forefront. God will give us those people in our life that we can connect with, those people that he wants to be able to be a part of our lives. I'm not saying that we need people every day of our lives. We don't need them, per se, to be every day in the same place that we are, but to have that common relationship, to be able to have that agreement, to know the same God that you love and adore. We need people like that in our lives. We need people that we can trust and share. And so what I'm saying to you today, that even when the enemy try to come and try to speak in another tongue and try to make you feel that you're less than or that you're not worthy of having another friend or having somebody that's able to be able to communicate, that you can communicate with. Well, you know, I believe that the Word of God tells us that there's a time and there's a season for everything. And I believe that if we give God our all in all, and I believe that even as you have heard Dr. Norma today talk about the loneliness, which is the first phase of this broadcast that we're going to be talking about. Next week, we're going to be talking about the same thing. We're going to be talking about loneliness as well. And we want to be able to share with you, and we want to be able to talk to you about loneliness and how it affects you and how it affects others and what you can do about it. So today, as you know, she talked about loneliness. She talked about what the Bible said about loneliness. And on next week, tune in for next week as well, because we're going to talk about the causes of loneliness. You may think, why am I going through this? Or why is this person so miserable? Why is this person, maybe even a family member, why do they seem so happy in a certain surrounding, but then at times they seem like they don't have a friend in the world? But I want you to know today that you have a friend that will stick closer than a brother, and that's Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that even though we're going through and taking our time going through and talking about loneliness, we want to let you know how it affects you. Yes, you may be a teenager. You may be at the center of a person. You may be in the center of other people. Or you may be at school or whatever. But yet, when you leave school, or even when you may be in school, it don't seem like there's a loneliness on the inside. Maybe a mother or father. Yes, but I want you to know today that why some things are happening, what we can do, and number one, what we can do, because the Word of God saying all our ways acknowledge him, he will direct our path. So let's take another look at it on next week. We want you to tune in with us as we get ready to allow God to speak to us about this special important topic on loneliness. Let's go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again, once again, for being able to come before you, for being able to give insight, revelation, Lord God, of those that are going through loneliness. God, don't let them be intimidated, letting them not feel like they're worthless or not worthy to be able to attract other people into their lives, to be able to have that friend in their lives, or whatever the reason it may be. But, Lord, we ask thee, God, even right now, to touch every individual that's listening to this broadcast today, that God can know that they're overcomers. God, they're going to be overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And, God, that they don't have to, Father God, to be in that center of loneliness and despair, but, God, that they, too, can have life inside of them, and they can have it more abundantly. So we pray even now that you touch them. God, we realize that loneliness, God, touched a lot of people's lives. And Lord, we believe that even now, that sometimes the enemy comes and tries to make people think that they are lonely or they could be truly lonely. But God, you're there for them. God, you're there to cause their lives to be the life of peace and joy and a life that's full of him and grace, Lord God. So I ask you, God, to do it even now. Lord, I pray even now that there be not, even today, that those that are suffering from loneliness, from human suffering, Father God, and going through different things, Lord, let them know, God, that you got an answer for them. And God, even as Miss N, God, how she had the cat and how that was the one that she talked to, God, give them people that they can relate to, God, people that they can understand, those that can communicate back to them. God, don't let it be a painful situation for them. Don't let it be them filled with emptiness on the inside. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus. And even those that are young and those that are in school and those that are in college, Lord, I ask thee, Lord, even now to touch them. Your words say, ask and it shall be given. You said to seek and you shall find. You said to knock and the door shall be open. Lord God, you said if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. God, you said it shall be moved. So God, will you bind the spirit of loneliness, intimidation, God, that spirit of being, having pride that they even that they feel that it's difficult for them to even to engage in conversation with others, and even those that are educated, and God, they feel that they have so much education that they can engage in a conversation with others, and even those that don't know how to engage in conversation, and those that don't know how to have friends. And one of the things, God, as the woman of God spoke to us today, that in order to have a friend, that you must show yourself friendly. So, Father, we ask you, God, to do it even now. Lord, give us that greater insight as we teach on the topic, loneliness, that others, too, that they, Father God, will be relieved, they will be strengthened, they will be encouraged, Lord God, that they no longer have to go through what they have been exposed to. And Father, we just thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We would again like to thank Dr. June Normhill for being our speaker for today, for sharing on our first stage of loneliness. And again, we want you to invite your friends and family, invite your neighbors, even those that go to church well, and to let them know that we here at the Crossroads broadcast are going to be talking about the topic of loneliness. Yes, you may have seen that boy. You may have seen that girl. You may have seen that woman or that man that they seem to be so lonely. But I want you to know that God has an answer for them, and he is the answer for them today. We just thank God, Father, for what you've done. Father, even as we get ready to close, the word said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, God, you say that we shall be saved. But Lord, those that are not saved, those that do not know you as Lord and Savior, we pray even now that you would touch their heart, God, that they would say yes to your will and yes to their way. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for being all that they need in you. God, I ask you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, touch mind, body, soul, and spirit. Cause them, Father God, their dependence, Lord God, to be solely upon you. And for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We want you to tune in on next Monday at this very same time at here at the Block Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we will continue to pray and bless the name of Jesus as you pray, as well as you lift up those that are the north, south, east, and west, those that are in the United States of America, and those that are foreign soil. May God bless you with our prayers.